Probably one of the most difficult passages to articulate in Romans 8 is what we're talking about this weekend. I do want to let you know, as we've been talking about belonging, which is Romans 8, 1, because you and I all want to belong. You and I want to be a part of something. I do want to inform you, and this is not to, this is more information that I'm not getting tons of questions later, but I want to inform you that there are some ordinances in Colombia that prohibit some things from happening. And one of the things that we jumped the gun on was our signage in this first year of as a church. And whether you agree with laws or, I mean, there's a lot of laws that, honestly, politicians don't even know why they're laws. You know what I mean? There are laws from a long time ago. When we're in Nebraska, it's illegal in Nebraska to go whale fishing on Sunday. That's a legit law. I don't know where you're from, but Nebraska don't have whales. So that's why that's funny. Another law in Nebraska, which should be a law in Illinois, and a lot of you would be arrested, but any baby that cries during a church service, the parent is then arrested. That's a legit law that we're bringing into the state of Illinois. Child care for a reason. All right, so there's some laws we just don't understand. So one of those that will have to happen this week, and I just want to make you aware, is that our You Belong Here banner and our banner that's in the sign, those things have to come down. And so those signs will come down this week. And so to not have to respond to, why'd you take those banners down? I just wanted to let you know we're allowed 24 square feet of signage in our property because we're in a residential area. And so that monument sign is our only sign, which means you guys got to open your mouths. You have to get the message out. And so obviously that's happening. And again, it's okay. You know, it's one of those things. But I wanted to make you aware of that just so you aren't asking me a lot of questions. Romans 8, if you have a Bible, if you have an app, if you have the YouVersion app, you can follow along in our notes. I'm giving you permission to look at your phone, but only the Bible app. Or you can check in at Life Community Church on Facebook. It's cool. Romans 8, verse 18, be on the screen if you don't have a Bible, or there's one in the seat in front of you. I'm reading from the NIV, and it says this: I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. You've heard that word a couple times in that passage. Wait and patiently. I think trust is an easy thing when life is good. When there's money in your account, when your family situations, when your kids aren't being crazy, when life is not out of control, I think trust is real easy. I think it's very easy for us to be in a good mood when life is easy. But what I've found, for whatever reason, in the church world, as followers of Jesus, as people that want a relationship with Jesus, we head down some very weird roads when life gets hard. We say things that we wouldn't normally ever think that we would say when life gets difficult. And this is the promise. Not our heart, not a I feel bad for you promise, but life at some point will be hard for you. Amen? You're like, yeah, it probably is right now. It will be difficult. There was a mindset at some point with the Christian community that if life was bad, then you must have done something to anger God. I think that is a devil mindset. I think that is a mindset that the enemy loves that you think. I think it's a mindset that is straight from the pit of hell. I don't think that's right at all. I don't see it in the Bible. I don't see it in this point. I don't see it at all in any of this. And the irony of pain and suffering and the things that we'll go through is typically one of the ironies is the shortest route to God. I pray more when life is crazy. I automatically am the most faithful spiritual guy in the room when I need Jesus. But when life is awesome, it's like, I got this. I'm good. The most populated day of church attendance in the United States of America was September 16th, 2001. Why? Because America was in this place of going, uh-oh. And whether you're an atheist or a believer or the most devout Christian, Catholic, whatever, when life rocks you, you have a tendency to look up. You have a tendency to look for an answer. And how we're wired is we want to connect the dots. We want to say, why is this happening to me? And this is what leads us down a crazy path. Because now the why becomes, God must be mad at me. Why becomes, I must have said something wrong 10 years ago and now God's mad at me. I must have done this or that, and now we're asking why, all in the attempt to connect the dots to why life is happening the way it is. And sometimes, don't get me wrong, sometimes it is our fault. Sometimes we are responsible. Sometimes it is, hey, you did this, and this is now a consequence of this. This is not God's fault, right? You're spending more than you make. It's not God's fault. God, why are you mad at me? I'm not. You're just being stupid. Amen. Right? I think God says that a lot to us. I think God speaks to me like that. Hey, Jamie, don't blame me on that one. You're dumb. You didn't invite me into the decision-making process. Why are you inviting me to bail you out? Right? We take the government approach with Jesus. Come on. It's okay. Jesus, I need this. I'm not going to follow you after this, but I need you now. Right? Or we say things like, God, I'll follow you. I will follow you if you pull me through on this one. If you get me out of the stupid mistake that I made, God, I will follow you. A week later, life is good, and we're asking why again. Why are you mad at me, God? We've taken this approach, and we've head down this path as if God is sitting in another room reading a magazine, not caring about our lives. Well, God must have just abandoned me. And Romans 8 brings all of this out. Romans 8 brings out this mindset, and I read this somewhere on social media this week. Who you are in the fire is who you are, which I love that, because you and I approach everything with what we hope to be, sometimes not actually where we are. Who you are when you're under pressure is actually who you are, because who you are when life is good, it's not really who you are. You're just responding to great circumstance. So what happens? What happens in my life when my world gets rocked? When I get a phone call that is very difficult for me to understand? What happens when all of these things that is happening in my life all of a sudden is now out of my control? What do I still have a tendency to do? Connect the dots. I still have a tendency to go, okay, God, I got to know why. As if answering the question why changes your circumstance. It doesn't. If you look at the story of Lazarus, which a lot of us have heard, which is the question of Mary and Martha, the sister, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. If you would have just been here, then he would not have died. And they're asking why in the middle of it. In the middle of the craziness, they're saying why. And again, that's okay. As long as my answer on the other end of it isn't that I'm blaming God, that I'm mad at God, and I'm running away. This is typically the problem. Not so much that you ask why, but that at the end of it, you no longer have a relationship with Jesus, and you're mad at God, and you're running the opposite direction. Guys, in the middle, what did Jesus pray while he's on the cross? The guy who predicted his death, the guy who predicted his resurrection, but while he's on the cross, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? Because in the middle of the craziness, he wants confirmation that there's purpose with what he's going through, which is what the end of us, all of us want. I want to know that what I'm going through has purpose. And there's elective pain. We all have elective pain. Things that we'll do for the greater purpose, that's called working out, right? It's pain now, but you have purpose, right? The purpose is to look good. The purpose is to fit into whatever. The purpose is to be in shape when season comes around. The purpose is whatever. I think of that every time I see someone with a weird piercing. Come on. It's like, there's purpose. Their purpose was, I'm going to go through this pain because at the end of this, I'm going to think it looks good. But we all have that. We all have, I'm going to go through this pain. I'm going to suffer and sacrifice for this purpose so that at the end of this, it's this. And there's some things that you just can't explain. So then what? You and I are still trying to connect the dots. And Jesus is saying, maybe these are the dots you need to connect. And this is Romans 8. He says this. He says, I consider that our present sufferings, saying what? That we have suffering that we're going through. Who's writing this? Paul. What has Paul suffered? The Bible says Paul was shipwrecked. He went without food. It says he was beaten to the point of death. It says one time he was beaten to the point of death by his friends, his peers, people he called buddies. People he hung out with, people he did life with, people he did ministry with, people he saw and experienced things with. He says, at one point, these guys turned on me and they beat me to the point of death. You and I have had people turn their backs on us. Not so much like Paul. So he says, I consider my present sufferings to what? To not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. What's Paul saying? He's saying, listen, you have an in the meantime moment, but there's something greater coming one day. It doesn't even compare with what you're going through. When you're in the middle of darkness, when you're in the middle of suffering, he's saying, listen, it does not even compare with what the future is going to be. It doesn't even compare with what God has for you in the end. It's a beautiful thing. It's the hope that you and I have in the meantime. We take this approach into God, how do I, in this present suffering, understand what I'm going through? And Paul continues. You and I want to talk about the future. Sometimes we have to talk about our present sufferings. We have to talk about what we're going through. We have to talk about the difficulties. Paul says, now's bad. But what's happening now is nothing compared to the end. I think with this approach, it should help us to keep a right perspective on the right now. That there are some things that you're going through that really isn't that big of a deal. You've put too much emphasis on the fact of this or that. And I'm not downplaying what you're going through, but I kind of am. Can I do that? I mean, I think there's moments where we can be kind of childish in situations. That God looks at us and goes, you know what? I just need you to grow up here. Who wants to hear that? Nobody is signing up for that small group, you guys. Hey, this small group is a small group. We're going to call you out and call you babies. Who's in? Nobody. Nobody's coming to that. Why? Because you and I want to be affirmed. We like encouragement. We like to be pushed, but as long as you're nice, don't tell me the truth. Verse 19 says, the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. Again, looking at the future, in the end, in the beginning, in the meantime, in the future. He says, then verse 20, for the creation, here's the first stop, for the creation was subjected to frustration. This word carries a lot of weight of depravity, of perversion for creation. Everything that was created, everything was subjected. What part of definition do we not get when it says everything that was created was subjected to frustration? Every relationship, everything on earth, it was subjected to, everything was judged. The whole world was judged. In the beginning, we live in a world where there is sin and sin is rampant. We would agree on that, that there's evil in the world. He's saying, listen, from the very beginning, there's been evil. From the very beginning, this is what's happening in our world, that there is evil in the world, and this is where we live. That some of the things that happens to me is not A plus B equals C. It's not because bad things happen to Christians. Bad things happen to nice people. But why? All because we were subjected to frustration. That's why. All because of that, God judged the world. This is the big dot. But then he says, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from the bondage to decay. Man. You know why, as I approach 40 years old this summer, I wake up some days and my knees aren't what they used to be, that I got aches that I cannot explain? Now, granted, Friday night I was playing my son in basketball and I put a whooping on him. And so yesterday could be explained because I take the approach of one day I'm going to be old and decrepit and you're going to be able to beat me, but not today. Not today. I'm going to do it as long as I can. I remember the day when me and my dad wrestled, and it wasn't too long ago. It was probably 10 years ago, and we wrestled, and it was the first time in my life where I thought in the middle, my gosh, I got this. I got this. And as I pinned him, I heard his ribs snap. No trash talk needed. My bad. My bad. You know why my knees are aching? Because I'm getting old. Because you and I are in bondage to decay. That it's not God's fault that you have back problems. Well, my dad couldn't see, so maybe that. No, your dad was in bondage to decay too. So here's the God, why is this happening to me? Because you're in bondage to decay. What did I do to cause this? You were born. We want to put an emphasis on the fact that, God, there's a reason. Here's the bottom line. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but one day he still died. Because we're in bondage to decay. He says two words in there that should be the most comfort for all of us in this room. It should be our life, two words. It says in hope. He says, in the meantime, we live in hope. In hope of what? The future. That in your meantime, there has to be hope because our bodies are getting older. And it's not God's fault. It's the fact that we were born into a culture and to a world that has been judged. And that's the reason. Does God heal? Absolutely. Do I pray that God's will's done on earth as it is in heaven? Absolutely. But do Christians still get cancer and die? Yes, they do. And you want to know why? It's because you were born into a culture that has already been judged, that is already frustrated, and is born in bondage to decay. You ain't what you used to be. You can't do what you used to be. Do it while you can, fellas, because one day you just can't. And they say 40, it's even harder. That's what I've heard. It's there. But today at FCA, I'm going to play basketball. I'm going to do everything like I used to 20 years ago. And you're going to beat me. You're going to talk trash. And I'm going to try even harder. But when I get that one dunk on you, Corbin, it's going to be an Instagram moment. Because you're like 8 foot tall. Stand up real fast. See, he's taller than me and I'm on stage. It's just not fair. It's just not fair. It's just not right. That's something I can't help. It's something I can't control. Some of you can't grow beards yet. Gotcha. One day. Oh my gosh. I don't even know where I'm at or what I'm even talking about. So, verse 22. We know that whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up until this present time. Here's the history. Sin entered the world. Everything's been decaying and been upside down since. It's not just something in the world is broke. The whole world is broken. That's what Paul is telling us. And he's saying this. Not only so, verse 23, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption, the redemption of our what? Bodies. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, when I give my life to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of me. And I've seen people, when they give their life to Jesus, I've seen an instant change. I've seen them instantly stop smoking. I've seen the addictions instantly gone. I've seen it happen. It's unbelievable. And I've seen some people that they walked away and I thought, it didn't take. I've seen some people where it's like, man, this is going to be a crazy process. And we've even said, yeah, they might need to pray that thing again. Didn't work the first time. They weren't spiritual enough. It didn't have the right mood. The song wasn't right or something along those lines. So we do it again the next week in hopes. Guys, God doesn't work like that. He deposits something inside of us. And he begins the process of working in us. And some people, for whatever reason, it takes a little longer. You know that if you have kids. Some of them, it just takes a little longer. Longer to listen, longer to do, longer to whatever. Their personalities. God comes in and says, I love your personality. I love your work ethic. But let me deposit this and watch what I'm about to do. This is what he's saying. He deposits his Spirit inside of us for that redemption. It's incredible. It's an amazing thing. You were born, and your body is still subject to decay. Verse 24, it says, for in this hope we were saved. What hope were we saved in? What hope? The future. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? Here's what he's saying. Look, it's hope. Reason it's fulfilled, the reason things don't get better, the reason everybody doesn't get healed, the reason everything doesn't work out is because something that we need to still be hoping for. In this time, there's hope. In the future, I don't need hope. It's right now that I need hope. But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. This is where we check out. We want Jesus now. I need you to change my life now. I need questions right now. I take a drive-through mindset, a fast food mindset into my relationship with Jesus. And I say, God, I need it in 30 to 60 seconds. Now. So waiting patiently is not something that you and I love to do. We don't like to wait patiently. We want God. You know that sometimes God's delay is not no to you, but sometimes his delay in your life is to protect you, to watch over you, for maybe he has the best, because all of this comes down to, where do I trust? And I can trust God when life is awesome. I can trust God when my life is perfect, but it's the end. Do I trust God when it's very difficult? Do I trust God when I don't know the answer? Do I trust God when the answer is not in front of me? That's the question. That's what we have to see. We also have to see our response. What is my response? How do I respond to things happening? Come on, guys. When your life gets rocked, how do you respond? You freak out. You're staying there a while. When your life gets rocked, this is when you find out who you trust. Yes, it's on your money. Yes, it's something we can still say in the pledge. We can still say we trust God. It's a great anthem. It's a great word to say. But when I get rocked, that's when I find out if I trust God. What is my response? I tell people from a coaching standpoint, this is just not pastor, this is me as a coach. This is life. I will never get on a player for making a mistake. Mistakes are going to happen. I will never be the coach when someone hits a shot and hits it over. The parent's responsibility is to say, good shot, honey. Good shot. I will not say that because it was not a good shot. A good shot would have went in. A good try or keep shooting, that's better, but your form really stunk right there, and that's why you hit it over. So I'm not going to say it was a great shot. So my definition as a coach then is, how do I respond to the mistake? How do I respond when I make a bad pass? If I make a bad pass and I give up, what I've just constrained to my teammates is, it's all about me. This is what I've just said to my teammates. But if I make the mistake and I bust my butt to get back to make up for that mistake, then I'm doing something that my teammates now are seeing going, whoa, you responded well to that mistake. This is where God is. You're going to make mistakes, and there's a difference between sin and mistakes. There's a big difference. You're going to make a mistake and nobody should get on you, but how you respond to that mistake is what we need to talk about. What does the Bible say in Revelation? Though the righteous fall seven times, they get up again. Why? What makes them righteous? The fact that they get up again. It didn't say the worst of the worst fall. It didn't say though the sinner falls, though the wicked falls, it says though the righteous falls. Meaning, you're going to fall. You're going to hit rock bottom. There's going to be trouble. You're not exempt from life happening because you're alive and you live in a culture where bad things happen. People are going to turn their backs on you. They're going to do bad things to you. Things are going to happen. And this is when you find out, how do I respond? And there are a lot of people that have walked away, never to get up again. Hospitals are full of people who've said, I'm not getting up. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. And all I would say to that is, this is when I find out who I trust in. Last two scriptures. I love this. This should be our life's scripture. He sent the Spirit to help us in our weakness. You know how I have to acknowledge whether I have a weakness? How easy is that for us to acknowledge where we're weak? But the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know, when we do not know what we ought to pray. Have you ever been there? That life has rocked you so hard, you don't even know what to pray. When life has come against you so bad, you don't even know what you believe in that moment. You're in that moment of going, he says, the Spirit intercedes in our time of weakness when we don't even know what to pray. This is what the Spirit of God does. The Spirit that lives inside of you, that was deposited into your life when you gave your life to Christ, when it was deposited, when you don't even know what to pray, the Spirit intercedes on your behalf. You're strong, and you go through. Then at the end of that situation, you said, man, if you would have told me that I would make it out on the other end of that situation, I would have told you you're crazy. There's no way I would have made that, but yet here you are. You're alive. You're breathing. You're moving. Life is happening. Why? Because life doesn't stand still when your world gets rocked. Keep going. Your kids still need fed. They still got to eat. They're still going to fight. They still got to go to school. Life doesn't stop when your world gets rocked. He says the Spirit intercedes when you, in your weakness. The only way that that happens is when I acknowledge that I'm weak. That's the first step. If you got this and you're in control, you don't need the Spirit. And I think this happens most of the time. God deposits the Spirit inside of us. We say, I want to follow Jesus. And then we start living a life where it's about us. It's about what I think. Life gets hard and I go, oh, Jesus, I need you now. And Jesus is going, man, I'm here all along. I've never left you, but can we have a relationship? I'm not a genie that you can rub every once in a while. God goes, I'm with you. You're weak. You're caught in the right now. You're trying to connect all these little dots that really don't matter. You really don't need the answer to. Can I say that to you guys today? There's some things you don't need the answer for. And I'll say this. There's some things you'll never get the answer for. So I'm going to save you some years on your life, some hairs on your head, some fat in your belly. I'm going to save you right now. Quit searching for those answers. If you're the person that your personality in this room is you got to know everything, whew, you're going to be bald. Bald or gray by 30, you're like, man, it was in my genes. Nope, you're a worrywart. That's what it comes down to. I got some medical things going on. Yeah, because you worry like crazy. And you look older than what you really are. Well, maybe that's in the genes. No, it's the fact that you do not trust Jesus and you don't have a friend in your life that will tell you that. What? Come on, for a moment, just 1 minute, because my minute's like up. But for 1 minute, let's be real. We have a hard time trusting because you've been betrayed. Someone's turned their back on you. Someone lied to you. Someone made a promise that they didn't keep. And so now we carry that into our relationship with Jesus and we start going, well, that person's against me, so maybe God's against me too. And then we start trying to connect the dot. Well, 10 years ago, I did this. I wonder if God's getting back at me. No, he's not. That's not Jesus. That is your ex-husband, maybe, but it's not Jesus. Quit trying to pretend that how your earthly dad was is how your heavenly father is. He's not the same. He's not the same. Your dad has betrayed you. Jesus will not. He will not betray you. Hear those words. You can trust him. You can trust him. Proverbs 22:19. I am teaching you today. And for us stubborn people, he says, yes, you. That's not there by accident. As if you missed the first you. I am teaching you today. Yes, you. So you will trust in the Lord. What are you being taught today? You're being taught to trust in Jesus. And the circumstances and the things that are happening in your world are there so you trust in Jesus. Easy? No. Difficult. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him. Think about how it says it that way in the NIV. In all your ways, submit to him. And he will make your paths straight. You know how my paths need to be made straight? When I realize I'm on a winding road. You have to realize that. You have to realize that you're trusting in your efforts, in your confidence, in your giftings, and quite frankly, you're not trusting in Jesus. What if we went so all in for Jesus? Guys, listen, this is a difficult place where I'm asking us to go, and you're not going to get there. You're not going to walk out of here today and go, I think I'm there. I'm good. You're not. You're going to walk out of here and go, God, I want that. How do I get there? What if we went so all in? This sounds crazy. What I'm about to tell you sounds crazy. That the things in the meantime don't affect us that much. That's crazy, I know. Because some real crazy stuff is happening in your life. But what if I trusted God so much that when the legs on the stool that I'm sitting get cut off and I fall hard. It wasn't a soft fall. You fell hard. That you bounced up and you said, what's next? What if I trusted God so much that I go, God, I don't even know why. You're just teaching me something today. What if I don't try to connect the dots of my past and bring it into my meantime, which is now affecting my future? Because what we do, I brings up the sins of my past and I bring it in my relationships, in my kids' lives, in my work life. And now it's not just affecting your meantime, it's affecting your future. Now you're going to stand before Jesus and he's going to go, I don't know you. See, we can talk Matthew 7, 21 through 23, the most scariest scripture in all of the Bible. Read it for yourself. It is scary. But this is how we get there. This is how we get there. We allow the sins of the past to become in our meantime to where now it's affected my future. And the worst thing that you could ever hear in your life is Jesus say to you, I don't know you. I don't know you. But Lord, I healed people. I prophesied. I did great things. And you say, but I don't know you. How do we get there? Our meantime is affected from the things of the past. Come on. Do I trust Jesus today? Do I trust Jesus? I want to show a video and then three amazing kids are going to be baptized. But this video I want to show is because, first, I love the song. My wife says I say this too much, first and second. But first, I love the song, or A or B. So many words I can say, but we got to use this one for the podcast. So, first, because of the things I said last night. First, and no, I did not get in trouble last night when I went out with my wife's family. For those of you that were here last night. First, everybody was wondering. You probably didn't make it through dinner. I was fine. I may or may, never mind what I said. First, it's an incredible song that I want you to see the lyrics. And secondly, I think it's beautifully sung and fitting for us to where we're living. And so, at this time, let me pray. And when I'm done praying, come on, Mayor. I'm just kidding. Let's pray. Jesus, God, I pray, God, that our eyes have been opened today. God, to the truth of who you are, to your word, to your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that whatever's happened in our past and whatever currently we're experiencing, God, it fails in comparison to what the future holds. God, I pray that you would help us to see things from your perspective, to see things from your vantage point, that you would help us to know your truth and to trust you. God, I pray today for those that have prayed prayers that have never been answered. God, I pray for those that today are maybe in the worst spot they've ever been in. God, I pray that you'd be their comfort, you'd be their strength today. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to their life and they would hear your voice. God, speak to them in Jesus' name.